Fox Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show, hour number two underway, 6 minutes after the hour. Hope everyone's doing well out there. Still to come on the program today from the Alabama Policy Institute, our good friend Phil Williams. Let's talk about their shutdowns, some of the COVID-19 things, something to keep an eye on. We'll hear from him. We'll also talk to my friend, former State Senator Dick Brubaker up in Montgomery about, we'll do another one of these post-election autopsies and what he thought or what he thinks it means. I got some interesting data for that for you in the next segment. We'll talk about who are the people that stayed at home and didn't vote? So stick around for that. But joining us now, State Representative Andy Witt represents my former state legislator when I lived up in Huntsville, represented me in the Alabama legislature. Representative, how are you this morning?
Hey, Jeff, good morning. It's great to be with you. Like I said, I'm certainly missing you in North Alabama, but I know you're having a good time down south, and you're being represented by some very good legislators down in South Alabama, so I know you're having a good time with that. So,
well,
we're doing well. The family's doing well, and we're just trying to survive just like everyone else.
So, assuming you're making it through the whole COVID saga, okay?
We are. We're doing the best we can. You know, just like everyone else, our guards are up, and as you know, my wife is a principal at a local middle school, and they've had an uptick in classes here or cases, and they went virtual now for the next 2 weeks, I think. But overall, mood's good up here. We've had an uptick, but keep doing what we've been doing, masks and socially distance best we can, and we'll get through this. I understand the vaccine is coming, or so they say on the news. So listen to that.
Just hoping we can avoid another shutdown, but I feel.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. That's just my fault.
I feel good about I guess the state level, but I don't know what they got cooking up there in Washington D.C.
Yeah, I can't see that. You know, that was one of the biggest hot topics that I never expected to see was regarding, and I don't think anyone could have ever predicted what happened this year, but. With regards to the state shutdown and our mask orders and things of that nature, people at some point in their lives are going to have to take some personal responsibility, I believe. And Alabama, I watched it in March, April, May, June when we shut the state down or had limited capacity. And as you know, I'm a banker here in Huntsville and had devastating impacts on our industries, our businesses, our restaurants, and some have never recovered, so I don't think it'll be good for another statewide shutdown for us at all.
Well, let's hope that that doesn't happen. I want to get you on this morning. I think a headline that got a lot of eyeballs, a lot of attention. It was a topic that was really really hot there. I think toward the end of the 2020 session. What are we going to do about all of these benefits? From the CARES Act, the payroll protection, the supplements to unemployment insurance, all of these benefits from the federal government that by statute are seen by the state of Alabama as income for some people and therefore taxable. How are we going to eliminate that tax burden? So you have, you and then some other members of the Alabama legislature are working on trying to rectify that.
Yeah, and that's the good thing is you've got people all across the state of Alabama, legislators that have looked at this problem and are concerned about the issue. And we're all trying to get the right mix in the bill that we can get passed and to make sure that we can continue to protect our citizens and our small businesses. You know, this piece of legislation is important to so many Alabamians and really over 7,800, small businesses. And businesses that call Alabama home. First and foremost, let me just briefly tell you just a little bit about the first piece of the legislation that was in regards to the stimulus checks that were sent out. Okay, and qualifying Alabama, just to remind everyone, many Alabamians received those stimulus checks, $1,200 for individuals and upwards of $2,400 for these joint taxpaying families. And then there was a $500 credit per child in the household. And like you said, under existing law, these funds were subject to the Alabama state income tax. Well, that just didn't seem right. These funds were provided to help our citizens during a very difficult time. It's just not turn around, you know, it's just not right to turn around and tax them, our citizens for suffering. And it appeared to me to be a poke in the eye, as it did with other members of the legislature. So, yes, under existing law, these are taxable. Just in Alabama alone, these payments total over $4 million, which went to the Alabama families. This legislation would exempt the taxpayer from paying these individual income tax on these funds that they've received. We're going to give it to them as a taxpayer that received this stimulus fund and to help them through these trying times. And then we're going to turn around and tax them again. I think that's just a poke in the eye. I'm glad to see other legislators across the state concerned with it.
Well, is there any nuance to your effort as opposed to Arnold Mooney or Chris Elliott's efforts?
Well, I hadn't had a chance to really look over their bills and review them. Mine touches on the individuals, but also the small businesses and our businesses in the state of Alabama. Coming again from that banking background, there was a lot of the PPP money, the Paycheck Protection Program, and these were businesses that used these funds that was provided by local banks all across the state with a guarantee from SBA that if they use these funds and maintain their payrolls at about the same levels before the outbreak and were able to document that money was spent properly, then these funds would be forgiven. These loans would be forgiven to these companies. Over 7,800 businesses across Alabama received these loans. They use their funds to pay either payroll, keep the lights on, and basically keep the rent paid. But in particular, a number that jumps out at me is over 58,000 mom and pop shops received these loans. It nearly totaled $2 billion. You know, this was a lifeline for these small companies. I witnessed it on a daily basis as these were coming out. We're working 24-hour shifts at the bank to try to help facilitate these loans to get to these individuals. And just the mom and pop shops, the 58,000, helped retain over 264,000 jobs in Alabama. And then look at the state as a total. The CARES Act provided 65,000 loans to businesses and had a direct impact on over 672,000 jobs. Can you imagine what the landscape would look like if we had not rolled this legislation out earlier, the feds had not put this into place? It would have been a very, very different landscape for sure in Alabama. It's tough enough already, but it would have really been different story that we've been talking about today. Well, so under just to bring you up to date, then under current the law says that any forgiveness of these loans would be taxable back to the state. And, you know, I'm working hard to change this. What I see is clearly, again, a poke in the eye, not to the individual, but now to the small businesses here in our state that has already suffered enough. So hopefully we can get everyone on board and look at the bills, look at the different pieces of legislation, see what one works the best. One thing, too, to keep in mind is that a version of this that we're working on now is to include the money that the governor dispersed out of the CARES Act money that was received into the state. She directed to small businesses, the $15,000 that I think 10,000 businesses had lined up for across the state. So there's the stimulus checks, the stimulus, the PPP programs, things of that nature. We do not need to charge these individuals and these states' businesses this tax against it. We just done fathom with me that we would think of even doing that.
Well, we'll
particularly in a time of need like this.
Walk me through this. You know, people do their taxes earlier than in the year in some cases. Y'all go into session in February. Is there any reason to think that this could get done in a special? Should it be the number one priority? Would that be timely enough when y'all gavel in, or should we be thinking about maybe a special session late 2020, early 2021 to get this done?
Well, certainly if there is a special session, I will push for this bill to be picked. I think the governor wants two or three bills, you know, that she's focused on regarding the insurance, you know, the liability for businesses, the tax abatements, things like that for our state that we can give to attract new businesses here in our state for the industrial developers and things of that nature. But this is one that goes right in hand with that. We need to make sure it's on the front ground of this forerunner of that, and if we do not get it in special session, we certainly need to make sure it goes in a hopper quickly on the regular session.
Well, Toby, just getting to square one to get gaveled in, there's a lot of concern. You know, we haven't quite put this this virus to rest. Gathering in a chamber in the House of Representatives of that old State House building there, on Union Street. I mean, are you concerned about that? Do you think it's logistically possible to pull off any session, regular or special?
I just have to commend our leadership team for what they've done already, from the Speaker's House and Jeff down there, the things that they've already got in place and working to try to keep us socially distant. I know that there's been some conversation that we will occupy the gallery. We also will look at maybe expanding into a couple of rooms with audio and video. And the members, 105 of us, will just have to split out the best that we can for that. But the leadership has done a good job. I think they're working on some things now to make that much easier regarding voting and things of that nature for each member to come down They've been very point on. They want to be safety of our members. We've got some elderly members there that has expressed concern about going down. We've just got regular members that expressed concern about their safety. So I have to applaud the leadership of what they've done to try to keep everyone safe and distance out there in the State House. It will not look like it has in previous years. I don't think that you'll see everyone walking down the hallways and the doors open and the school groups coming through and the fourth graders and the lobbyists. Things will look completely different, I believe, for this next session.
How much do you think the public ought to be shut out? I mean, obviously you need
we shouldn't be shut out. We ought to be able to provide them audio and video of all of the committee meetings. They should be able to see that. They should be able to have ways to look for input on particular bills that concerns them. We just need to learn a new way of doing business. I'm not for shutting the public at all out. We just need to learn how to adjust. Just like some of the restaurants have learned to adjust. They'll never open their doors again, but their drive-through lines are out the door and they double their sales. So we just need to figure out a way to keep the public engaged, keep them informed, and just be as open as we possibly can at the State House with information, with live streaming, audio, video, whatever that may be. If we have to move to other facilities to accommodate more people for committee meetings or hearings, I'm all open for that. I'm not for any closed-door meetings, nor is leadership.
Representative, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thank you so much for coming on.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to speak about the bill. I think it's very, very important, and like I said, it's very good to see the legislators across the state that we're all having the same common thoughts and thread, and hopefully we can get something like this passed and help the citizens of Alabama, and particularly our small businesses.
But, yeah, thanks for coming on and talking to Mobile Audience.
Thanks so
we
much.
Appreciate it.
You call me anytime, and I look forward to speaking to you.
All right. State Representative Andy Witt, North Alabama there, a banker as well as a member of the legislature. Talk about his tax bill. We'll get more of that maybe just show unfolds with Phil Williams at the bottom of the hour. This is FM Talk 106.5. Mr. T.